brought to you by Penguin.
The House on the Lake by Nuala Elwood, read by Emily Barber and Georgia May Foote.
I cannot think of any need in childhood as strong as the need for a father's protection. Sigmund Freud. Prologue. Blood. That's all I can think about as I sit here huddled in the corner. I close my eyes, but I can still see it. A dark crimson stain on the new fallen snow. His blood. I get to my feet and look out of the tiny window. The snow is falling still. White flakes drift through the air, obscuring my view of the crag and the woods beyond. All is as it was, and yet everything has changed. The landscape I once loved and treasured is now a warped one, with no beginning and no end. It is rotten. All of it. I have nothing left, I think to myself, as I close the window. Nothing except the terrible images that swirl around my head. It's been 4 days now, with no word. Any hope I had left in my heart is gone. I am alone. Utterly alone. I step back inside the room. My blankets are lying on the floor where I left them earlier. I've tried to sleep, but it's no use. Every time I close my eyes, I see his face, and I'm reminded of what I've lost. Love. Family. Home. That was all I ever wanted. All I ever needed. I just didn't realise until it was too late. I lift the blanket and give it a shake. Dust particles rise up into the air and I cough as they hit the back of my throat. Then I hear it. Knocking. It gets louder and louder and it takes me a few moments to work out that it's coming from downstairs. It's the front door. Someone is knocking on the front door. My heart lifts. He's come back. I knew he would. I run to the door, open it wide, and as I hurtle down the stairs, I make a silent promise that from now on things will be better. I will be a better person. I won't complain or argue. I will be thankful for the family I have been given, for the person I love the most in this world. But it is a woman's voice that greets me as I reach the front door. Police, open up! It's a sharp, menacing sound that seems to slice through the heavy wood door as I stand trembling behind it. Stand back! There's a pause followed by an almighty thud as the door is broken down and two uniformed officers, one male, one female, rush towards me and grab me by my arms. It happens so quickly I barely have time to catch my breath, though as they lead me outside I manage to catch a few of their words. And then, in those final moments before they take me away, it all makes sense. The silence, the blood, the nightmares. I realise what has happened. It was me. I killed him.
Part 1. Chapter 1. Lisa. 9th of December 2018. Joe's screams fill the car as we come off the motorway and make our way down a series of narrow and twisty country roads. I turn the radio up to its highest volume, then grip the steering wheel, hoping that a bit of Little Mix might calm him down. I sing along too at the top of my voice and pretend that everything is perfectly normal, that we're off on a fun, festive trip, my little boy and me. I try not to think about Mark and what he'll do when he finds out we've gone, but his voice is everywhere. I can hear it in my head above the music, dripping with menace. You silly fucking bitch. What the hell have you done? I turn the music up, but Mark's voice merges with it. Behind me, Joe starts wailing. Want daddy? Want daddy? My heart starts to pound. The familiar prelude to the panic attacks I've been getting recently. Turning the radio off, I slowly exhale, remembering the technique I learnt at the mindfulness class they made me take. In, out. In, out. It's okay, Bubba, I say as the pounding subsides. Mummy's taking you on a big adventure. We're going to the countryside where there'll be sheep and cows and lots of fun things. We're going to stay in a beautiful house. You'll like it, I promise. I look at his face in the rearview mirror. His big blue eyes are red and swollen with tears. His bottom lip quivers as he turns his head and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?